This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey, this is DeAndre here, and I wanted to make sure you haven't forgotten about our free stay for up to 5 nights in an Airbnb in the world-famous Tulum, Mexico, that we are giving away in partnership with Greenwood Tulum, and that ends May 31st. Click the link in the show notes for details on how to be eligible to win. Now, on to the show. Join us this week as we explore the globe with Tim Mead, an adventurous spirit whose travel exploits with his wife are nothing short of extraordinary. From staying in castles in Ireland to navigating the vibrant landscapes of Turkey, Tim shares his unique experiences and the clever use of points and miles that made these incredible journeys possible. This episode is great for anyone looking to add a touch of adventure and luxury to their travels without stretching their budget. Tune in to discover how you can replicate their success and revolutionize your own travel experiences.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Before we introduce today's amazing guest, if you have been following us, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and make sure to rate and like everything that we put out, if you do like it, as obviously. And you can also watch this full episode on our YouTube channel as well, at Boldly Go World. And don't forget, we love feedback and questions. You're more than welcome to shoot us an email, support@boldlygo.world. And one of your questions could actually be featured on a future episode. So into the episode now, I want to introduce an amazing guest, Tim Mead of @wondering.destination on Instagram, which we will link in the show notes. And he was originally recommended actually by a listener, but come to find out, he is both a friend and colleague of Tom Marsden, who you might remember from episode 13, who was super knowledgeable, super popular, and really looking forward, because I know Tim said that he chopped it up with Tom multiple times in the past, and they've talked points and miles. So super excited to have Tim today on the episode. Tim, welcome.
Hey, thanks, DeAndre. Yeah, Tom and I are definitely colleagues, and we talk points and miles all the time at work when we're not doing other things as well. So it's, it was cool to kind of find another colleague at work that shared the same passions.
No, I can definitely imagine that. Definitely imagine that. So, Tim, let's jump into this, right? So tell us a little about your background. Who are you? What you do? What area of the country you live in? And then how'd you get started in the journey with points and miles?
Yeah, so Tim Mead, our whole brand or kind of the travel in, that we're trying to get going is Wandering Destination. But I am here in Virginia, Virginia Beach specifically, and actually work IT consulting. It was like my 9-to-5. So that's where Tom and I have kind of connected. We obviously work together at the same firm, but unbeknownst to us, we're both huge travel nerds as well too. But my 9-to-5 is IT consulting. My wife does engineering, but between the two of us, we like to travel a lot, obviously, explore the world. But yeah, that's ultimately, we're Virginia based and Virginia Beach and loving it. But to kind of come back to your question, we kind of got introduced to the whole points and miles and travel hacking and the whole experience actually when I was traveling for work. So it was back in 2017. I had to do a lot of work trips down to Atlanta. So from Virginia to Atlanta, it's a Delta direct connection, which was nice. But started doing that flight about 36 times out of that year. So out of the 52 weeks, you know, 36 of them I was on a plane, and started kind of accruing, you know, Delta Sky miles. And after the first, you know, probably three or four flights of not knowing what the heck was going on with that at all, was trying to sign up for like a Delta card to kind of take advantage of that, because I'd heard some people talking about it. But ultimately, work is what got me in there, and racking up a whole bunch of Delta miles. That's how we got started with this whole journey.
Very nice. Very nice. That's awesome. So with Delta Sky Miles, was that your first exposure or first card specifically into the points and miles world?
Yeah, the first one was a Delta card. I don't remember exactly which one it was. It definitely was a free one, because it was, you know, we had some kind of trepidations around credit cards and really just not knowing enough about them, and then started kind of slowly researching and seeing, you know, which ones offer what, and, you know, getting into the weeds of why would you pay for one? There's ones with fees. Who, you know, why even do that? But we started off with kind of like I started off with a Delta card, because we didn't have like a corporate card, so I could put it on my personal and then reimburse through work. So not only was I able to hit like that bonus spend and get bonus miles, but I was also just flying so frequently, the miles were just coming in, which was cool. So that was kind of the tiptoe into the points and miles world.
Awesome. So do you remember after you started there where it went? What was the next card or cards that you and your wife, I know your wife's actually a big part of the travel and points and miles game as well. I know she wasn't able to make it on the episode today. Where did you guys go from there?
Yeah, she, shout out to my wife. She is the other half of Wandering Destinations. So we kind of co-found this together, and really the brains of the whole operation. Either I'm the entertainment or the looks, one of the two, but probably neither. But we took that card and kind of built onto that. So our first kind of trip that got us out the door was a trip to Ireland, and using some of those points and miles and realizing that our flight there and back was completely free. And that's really what kind of opened the door for us to say, okay, we should probably keep doing this. Like, you can probably do it again, right? Let's get another card. And then signed up for probably my favorite card of all time, which is the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And that's when I fell in love with it. I was like, oh, I can earn these points and miles and send them anywhere. It doesn't just have to be Delta. It could be a hotel chain. It could be, you know, Marriott or Hilton or something like that. So that kind of opened my eyes to saying, you know, we could go and use points and miles from that particular, you know, card to other places. And then as we've kind of, you know, been working through our journey as well too, it was maybe we both can get the card, right? And then once we kind of, that was our step two or step three even, was kind of each of us getting a card and putting our own, you know, personal expenses on that particular card and kind of taking advantage of it or referring each other, if you will, to get kind of the cycle going on so that we're both maximizing what we could get.
Nice. So you embrace the concept that we call two-player mode. So I'm assuming referring both each other back and forth, well, not just back and forth, but referring each other to a card, getting that referral bonus, and then now you also have this pooled area of points that you guys can use. Did you stay with just Chase, or did you get into Amex as well?
So yeah, recently, over the past, gosh, 1 or 2 years, I did dip the toe into Amex and kind of went full tilt with their platinum card just to try it out. Cause at the time the bonuses seemed to make sense. So there was a huge sign on bonus. I think it was 120,000 points or something like that, which was pretty high, you know, well over $1,000 worth of value, for that card. And then there was Uber credits and, you know, a lot of other things that we do when we're traveling. And so at the time that one made a lot of sense to get. So that was kind of the first experience with American Express. My only kind of negative or caution with those is there's been a handful of places where we traveled with that where it actually was not accepted. So kind of had to take a backup card. So whether that was a Chase or a Capital One or something else. So I always kind of had to carry two with me as a just in case in your, you know, international, that, you know, not everybody takes American Express. So that was the only kind of knock to that particular card. But at the time when I got that particular one, the benefits were fantastic. And so we definitely took advantage of that one.
Yeah, that's a really great point, and something that's not really brought up a lot when we talk about that, but we do run into that quite often, where Amex is not taken nearly as many places as Visa is. And so when Taryn, my fiance, and I, when we're traveling all over the world, you know, we really make sure that we have our Chase cards, or not just Chase, sorry, let me rephrase that, our Visa cards specifically are the ones that we're using more often, because unless you're staying at a hotel, or you're charging at a hotel or something along those lines, they're more than likely not going to take Amex. And so if you do have a Visa, especially like you mentioned, the preferred card, right, there's no foreign transaction fees and some of these also. So it still makes sense, even though I know most people think of the Platinum card as that go-to travel card. It's great, but just also understand you're probably not going to get it accepted at a bodega in Cuba.
Yeah, that was the one thing that surprised me, because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, oh, this is the most, the cream of the crop card that they offer. It should be everywhere. And it surprised me. It wasn't. And it was just, to your point, right? It was just kind of some of the minor things. Like, we were going to fill up our car. We rented a car and the gas station didn't take it, right? It's just, so it's just, it was just enough of an inconvenience to where I had to have a second one there. So that's the only, my only caution for Amex. So I haven't gone for one in a while because of that, just because it's a lot easier to do either Visa or MasterCards. If the rewards are right, you know, if you do your research and get a lot, you know, enough of the value out of there, not opposed to it, but it's not my like go-to card.
Now, does your wife have an Amex as well, or just you so far?
She did at the time. We both kind of tried that one out. And then I think we kind of got the rewards and got out, just because of the inconvenience factor. It was a little, it kind of rubbed us the wrong way a little bit. So we've both tried it, but, you know, haven't really stuck with Amex as a brand so far.
Got it. Okay. Got an interesting strategy. Now, I know a lot of times when people are looking at, okay, I want to exit the card that I have. So maybe they got the Platinum, and the point bonus can be 100, 120 or more thousand points, or membership reward points, I should say, which is their welcome offer. Or on the business Platinum side, it can be 120, 150, 175, up to the highest I've seen is 250,000 membership rewards points to start with. So you get that and you're like, yeah, this is absolutely way more value than the $700 annual fee. But now it's time to get out. Did you guys downgrade your card, or did you just say, hey, after that year, you went ahead and closed out?
So it's a little bit of both. For that specific card, I think we downgraded just to a $0, and even called them. So one thing, a strategy that you can use, and sometimes is successful, sometimes not, is just calling them and saying, hey, I'm not interested in the annual fee. And a lot of times they'll waive that just to keep you in whatever program that they have. I've seen that more so on the Visa MasterCard side. So we tried it again on the Amex, and they said, oh, well, we can give you, they were giving me something about, you know, $500 worth of value for a $700 card. And at that point it didn't make sense. So for that particular one, we said, hey, let's just go ahead and downgrade this one to the zero. Because you know, you can take some kind of credit hits to your inquiries and things like that too, if you have, you know, too many open or coming up against your 524 rule. Sometimes you want to kind of make sure sometimes we close them, sometimes we downgrade them. It just depends on the card. It's kind of a situational circumstance, so to speak.
Yeah. And one thing I'm going to recommend that to the listeners as well, when you're looking at the opportunity to downgrade your cards, or even if you do go the full route and close them, which again, wouldn't recommend, because if you're closing the cards out completely, you're condensing your length of credit history, which is a factor, your length of average credit history, which is a factor for your credit score. But if you are going to go ahead and downgrade, make sure you do it at least after the 12 months, because especially with Amex, if you go ahead and try to close that card out before the first full year, they'll actually claw back all those points they gave you and make you pay for them. So make sure that when you do reach out to them, you reach out after that 12 months, let your fee hit. And then after your fee is hit, within the first 30 days of that fee hitting, call them and see if they have any retention offers, because the retention offer is where they will say, hey, kind of like what happened to you, right? We'll give you either, we'll waive the fee, or we'll give you 30,000 points or 50,000 points if you keep the card and spend $2,000 over the next month or two, which could be something worthwhile. You have to weigh that or not.
Right.
And ultimately, right, if you decide that you don't want to do any of that, you can downgrade that to a zero fee card and you won't pay any fees anymore. You won't get the benefits from it, but also it won't close that line of credit as well. So just something for the listeners to know out there, you can't ask for retention offers. Amex and almost all the cards out there have that.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a couple reach out to us in that particular instance. We have kept a couple as well too. So I kept the Capital One Venture X, which is probably number two in my book, just overall. Like the Chase Sapphire Preferred is one of the best ones I've ever had. I think the Reserve is up next once we get the opportunity to get that one. But Capital One, we had the Venture X, and actually stayed on through a retention bonus for a whole another year, just to keep going with that card because the benefits outweighed the cost of that annual fee.
Absolutely, especially because I think the annual fee is like $400 for the year, and they give you $300 back if you book through their platform, which is good for if you want to book like a hotel or something like that. Maybe not a flight, because you ideally want to book flights directly. But if you book like a hotel night through their portal, that's $300. You're going to get that $300 yep. back immediately. Now your annual fee is $100. And with the other benefits they have, I'm sure you can find a way. Use the Capital One Lounge once, and you'll make that up for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what we got, the $300 credit. And that was a bit of a mindset shift as well, too, of just getting into using a credit card versus not. So kind of grew up not really using them. So it was new, kind of uncharted territory. And thinking about it differently of how much benefit is this giving me? You know, if you get 100,000, you know, points or something like that, it's roughly $1,000, you know, and then you just subtract, okay, it's $200 a year or $400 a year. Well, I'm still netting out $600 of hotel stay or travel or, you know, airline, et cetera. So it was kind of switching your mindset a little bit onto leveraging the benefit in your favor.
Absolutely. So let's move from talking strategies a bit to destinations, right? So the brand is Wondering Destinations. You guys take incredible photos, great videos. You have a lot of great camera ship. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going with it. Would love to hear what has been some super memorable destinations, trips you guys have done. I would love to hear, especially, of course, if they came with an amazing redemption, you used points, whatever it may be. So I'd love to just talk travel for a little bit here. Where have you been? Where's excited you? And where do you want to go next?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think for us, I just was tallying this up earlier. We've been to, as a couple, 27 countries altogether. With our trip coming up in May, we'll have hit 6 of the 7 continents. So we're slowly ticking off that list off of there. But people ask us this one all the time, and my answer surprises a lot of people because out of all those countries, we've been a lot of it in Europe, but you know, so the Spain, France, Switzerland, Croatia, Italy, you know, Greece, a ton of others. But my favorite one has to be Ireland. We've been together about 4 times, and part of that trip as well too is a little bit of a unique experience where we have a buddy of ours who organizes kind of group trips, and his kind of shtick that he does with these group trips is his requirement is he has to rent out a castle in the country that he goes to. So we've been on a couple of these castle trips with him, and our very first trip as a couple together was Ireland in a castle in Limerick, Ireland, and that was pretty memorable. We did that flight for free with points and miles from my work travel that I kind of accumulated all those miles. So the flight was completely free getting over there and back. And then a couple of years after that, we went back with him to Croatia, which is probably up there as number 2, in Dubrovnik, where he found a castle in Dubrovnik and rented out the whole thing. And he gets a group of maybe 20 to 30 or so people there and does these kind of once a year, sometimes twice a year. But doing these trips to a castle in another country, which is a cool little, you know, conversation starter with anybody who's interested. If they're at all wanting to get into travel, I'm like, hey, I know a guy, you might want to come on this trip next time we go, because it's pretty wild to stay. It's not every day you get to, you know, stay in a castle in some other country.
Yeah, so that's incredible, right? Because like you said, I mean, castle is one thing, castle in another country, and then just a group of friends getting after it. So do you happen to know, where is he finding these castles? Are they like Airbnb castles? Are they hotels that he just buys them out or blocks them out completely?
Yeah.
Where are these castles? I mean, I know there's a lot of castles there, so I know that it's probably easier than I'm alluding to, but still, would love to hear, where is he finding the castles? Is it just a simple Airbnb search?
So I don't know if he's ever found one on Airbnb, because he's been going to this one. So the Ireland one, he's been going probably for about 15 years and just kind of, he loves it so much, he just goes back and has built up a rapport with the owners there. But it was just kind of a little bit of Google searching, honestly, because it's been so long. This was like pre-Airbnb when he found this particular castle, and they were, you know, just looking to make some extra income, you know, out of their residences, just kind of sitting there, and they fixed it up. And that particular one, like there's pockets of the courtyard that doesn't have a roof, because that was, you know, if you didn't have a roof back in the day, you didn't have to pay taxes on it. So it has all that historical, you know, aspect to it, but the inside has been modernized, and, you know, obviously people can stay there. But so he just kind of was Google searching for that one. He's got a couple other ones, but mostly just kind of searching online and throwing in some parameters there. So I don't know that there's a magic website to find them, but yeah, I know you can do them also on Airbnb. I think they're, that's been a new category. We've really been enjoying like a lot of the new categories that are on there, where you can find a tiny home or like a lean-to or some kind of, you know, out of the norm, you know, experience there on Airbnb, which is a big part of our brand as well too, is kind of finding something, either a hidden gem or off the beaten path of just, you know, not just staying at another Marriott. Nothing against Marriotts, I love them, but trying to find some kind of unique experience and share that so other people can be inspired and maybe go try it too.
So when doing these type of trips, and actually let's go back to Ireland specifically, was it more so the castle itself and the experience and the camaraderie with friends, or was it the country and the beauty of Ireland that really makes you say that that was one of your top experiences?
I'd say more so the latter. I mean, it was great. So we went on that trip and knew maybe two or three people out of the 20 that were there. So we met a ton of new friends that came on us there, that came with us to Croatia on the subsequent trip. So we've met a lot of kind of travel buddies for life, so to speak, through our mutual friend. But it was the beauty of that country really is you rent a car, and within a 2-hour drive, you're at somewhere completely new. You're at, you know, the biggest cliffs you've ever seen, you know, in your life. You're at this majestic beach that you've never even seen. They have actually really amazing surf, which people don't really know, down in the Dingle Peninsula in the west. And then up in the north is, you know, just full on Game of Thrones. If you've ever seen the show, it's a lot of it was filmed there, and it just looks exactly like that. So they have mountains, they have countrysides, they have islands that are there. It's kind of got a little bit of everything. And so that's what really kind of drew us, you know, into that country. And me personally, you know, haven't seen a bunch of them, so much to the point where if I know I have a layover, a lot of times I'll schedule it in Dublin just so I can pop out and go, you know, have a pint of Guinness or something like that, you know, just to see the city. It's the people are awesome. So it's just a combination of, you know, people that are there and just a lot of the outdoors. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, and you like, you know, hiking and mountains and just kind of the old rustic, you know, vibes of kind of olden times of castles but also like beaches and, you know, the ocean and the mountains. It reminds me a little bit of Virginia. It kind of has all of it. But yeah, it's, you can get in a car and just kind of drive and you're there really quickly. You know, in 2 hours, you're in a completely different location with a completely different atmosphere and environment, which is a big part of why we like that country so much.
Awesome. Any other memorable destinations? I mean, 27 countries. I'm sure you've had a few of them, but I would love to hear another just kind of out of the norm destination or trip that you and your wife took. And did you use points to get there?
Yeah, I'd say probably the most successful trip that we did from points and miles and just kind of leveraging everything we had, was a trip to Turkey, which was kind of, unexpected, it was a 2020 trip. So it was kind of peak COVID, that was going on, but, we were trying to see which countries were open. because a lot of countries were closed. You couldn't travel anywhere. You couldn't go, you know, a lot of people were, including us, were traveling locally here in the States, but we were kind of refreshing that page of like what countries open to US, and Turkey was one of the first ones on the list, and didn't realize was how beautiful the coast of Turkey is. So that whole kind of coast that touches the water, we kind of did a road trip down that and just stayed at a lot of bodegas and, you know, boutique places. And a lot of that was, we had converted some points to cash to cover those, but the beauty of kind of COVID, or the unsung, you know, hero of that particular time, although it was, you know, terrible, the prices were insanely low and nobody was traveling. So you took a little bit of a risk kind of traveling during that time, but it was completely empty. There's this spot in Turkey way towards the south called the Blue Lagoon, and it appears to be this massive kind of beach club-esque with like parasailing and hang gliding and just this massive beach where they have bars and clubs and everything in there. We had it to ourselves. There were maybe five people in this whole thing that's packed every summer, and I don't think it'll ever be like that again. And that was one that really stuck out as like a memorable trip, because the flights we did there, we did with points through a lot of our credit card. You know, I had a card, she had a card, our points combined. And some of that through Chase, which is why I like that card a lot too, because I could take the points and in certain scenarios, it made sense to convert it to cash. In other sense, it made sense to, hey, let's get a flight there. So we were able to do the entire trip. It was like a full week of just car, hotel, flight, everything. I mean, we paid for food when we were there. That's the asterisk to it. But the entire trip we used with points and miles, because we had been kind of banking it, because we hadn't really gone on a trip at that point in about a year. So we had saved up a bunch. And that was one that was really memorable, as unexpected. You know, we saw the coast. We did go into like Cappadocia, where like the famous hot air balloons are. The bummer with that was that it was actually closed due to COVID, so they weren't flying them. But we still got to see it and take pictures. We posted a bunch of those pictures from Turkey as well too. But I'd say Turkey is up there as like an unexpected, amazing country. Definitely go see it if you get the chance, and definitely go to the coast.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. That's actually still a country on our list. It's actually an asterisk on our list of countries that we've been to because we've had layovers there. That airport is a city in itself. I mean, it's the most insane airport I've ever seen. Just the size and the magnitude, and it's like a mall in it, and the lounge that we went to at least was the size of almost an airplane terminal. I mean, this place was gorgeous as an airport, so we want to go back and see the country itself.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today of like you know, potentially favorite lounges, and up until we just recently did an Asia trip to Singapore, that took the top spot. But Turkey, the Istanbul lounges in Turkey, I've never seen anything like that. It was amazing. Probably, you know, close number two to Singapore at the moment, but at the time it was the best, you know, lounge that I'd ever seen. It was fantastic. But my wife also has a rule, and I agree with it too. It's like, if you have a layover there, you can't count the country yet. So that 27 countries, we've been to a couple other places that we had layovers to, but we don't count them yet. It doesn't feel right, you know.
I'm 100% with you on that one. So actually, I want to come back and talk about Singapore, because Taryn and I are actually going to be going there in August. So I want to hear all about that. But I do want to say that I was with you refreshing the pages to see where we could go in 2020, because I was beating my head against the wall, not being able to go anywhere. I did do some national parks. I did go down to Miami, or did the entire coast of of Florida, the whole East Coast of Florida, from North Florida all the way down to Key West, which was really cool.
Oh, wow, nice.
I think I was able to get to Mexico as well. But the one, the big country that I went to for the first time was just refreshing and seeing what was open as I went down to Brazil and was in Rio for New Year's that year, which was kind of crazy because that's when it was all over the news that like Brazil and Rio, like everyone's dying there. But it just was a lot of media kind of hype because went down there and it was just had the time of my life, especially for New Year's. But I ride with you in the sentiment of understanding how hard it was when you love to travel and you're passionate about travel and you couldn't travel. But when you did, having entire planes to yourself was an amazing, amazing time.
Yeah. It's very strange. Like it was awesome. Cause you're just like pick any row. It was strange, but really cool. Like not having to worry about any of the, like the smoothest airport experience you ever had was during COVID. It's funny that you mentioned Brazil. Cause that was one that was on our list. And we just actually went down there, this past February, for Carnival, which, was, if you have the chance to go during February, 100% do it. Carnival is an experience unlike anything we have ever seen. I mean, it's parades for, you know, it's not just one day, it's weeks. As we were asking some of the locals there, we're like, hey, do you get off today for Carnival? And they're like, today, it's the rest of this week. What are you talking about? You know, and it, you know, starts at 8, 9 p.m., something like that, and goes till like 8 a.m. the next day. It's just the most epic parades, and it's really fun. And that was one that we were like, we kind of got the itch, you know, right around, you know, coming out of the holidays, you're like, it's cold, you know, kind of snowing a little bit here. Like, I want to go somewhere. We should do a trip. And they're like, oh, wow. Well, it's 80 degrees Fahrenheit in Brazil right now. Should we go to Brazil? Like, and then the rest is history on that one. But yeah, Brazil was definitely one of my favorites also.
That's awesome. Brazil is an incredible country. Can't wait to go back because, I mean, it's so huge. I just went to Rio, and so there's so much more to see. But let's take it back. Singapore. I'm going to be there in just a few months. So I want to know, tell me everything. How was experience? I mean, I know the airport itself is its own experience, so I'm excited to see the airport there. But tell us, how was the Singapore experience?
Yeah, so we actually packed that into kind of an Asia trip. That was 3 weeks. So this was kind of a first. I'd never taken 3 full weeks off consecutive from work ever. So we kind of had to meander that. And we did it in November. So one of our travel hacks that we do when we're doing those kind of trips is we bake them around existing holidays in the shoulder seasons. So one of the holidays that we kind of say, hey, sorry, family, we'll catch you next time is Thanksgiving. And so that was a part of our Asia trip, is we basically for the month of November, we were doing, Japan, South Korea, Thailand, because I have some family that lives in Thailand, and then Bali and Singapore to kind of like round it out. Singapore is fantastic. We were only there for, I think, a day and a half, just kind of walking around and seeing everything. There's a lot to do. The food is fantastic. If you are into high-end fashion and just, you know, kind of shopping a little bit, they have a really, really awesome mall that's just beautiful to look at, but also inside is every store you could possibly think of. And they have a really awesome show kind of right there on the water in the downtown area every night. It's this massive water show that's there. It's completely free. So Singapore, one of the things to watch out for, you know, for anybody watching or thinking to go there, it can be pretty pricey, but you can also do it if on a budget as well too. So there's a ton of things that are there that you can just kind of walk around and see, like a lot of sightseeing that's there. Very, very modern, but a lot of cool, you know, just sights and you know, food as well. They have kind of some open air like markets, so to speak, where there's kind of all these little food stalls from basically every flavor of and every genre of food you could ever think of that are there and really fantastic. So we weren't there for super long, but we really did enjoy the stay there. But we kind of had to be mindful of it can get pretty pricey there pretty quickly if you're not watching out for it. So just got to do a little bit of research on where you want to go around the city, but it's definitely manageable. For that night show, for the water, and there's kind of like some fireworks occasionally as well too. There's a couple of rooftop bars that are nearby. But what I'd say for a pro tip on that is go ahead and call them and make a reservation we learned that kind of the hard way. We just assumed we could kind of go up there, you know, seeing a couple of, you know, Instagram reels and things like that saying, hey, you just go up there, you know, nobody knows about this hidden spot. It's not hidden anymore. Everybody knows about all of them. So definitely call, make a reservation, and do it before your trip even starts. So, you know, think 2 to 3 weeks before you even go there, stake out, hey, you know, some cool view. There's a ton of them. They offer a lot of similar views, but a lot of them do have reservations that you need to just let them know that you're coming, and then you'll be good to go. So don't mess up like we did.
Got it. That is that's super helpful to know. The tip around the holidays, we actually do the same thing. So I think last November, we actually spent time down in Mexico. This upcoming November, we actually are going to be in the Maldives again for a dive trip. So I completely resonate with that factor as well. And so this is a 3-week Asia trip for us also. So we're actually going to do about 2 weeks in Bali, almost 2.5 weeks in Bali. And then honestly, we're trying to get back, and just using luxury business class flights on points really dictates when we left and when we got back. And so after spending weeks to try to research this, actually a couple of months trying to figure out the best route, it ended up being paying cash for a flight from Bali to Singapore, and then using points to get from Singapore home. And so that ends up putting us in Singapore for about 4 days. We're going to have a whole episode where we break down our whole Bali/Singapore points strategy and everything, but I'm super excited. I know Singapore's expensive, but I also know it's one of those places that you just have to go and experience.
Yeah, 100%. And Bali is the opposite. It's super affordable. We that was part of our trip as well too. Loved Bali, and there's a huge kind of digital nomad presence there as well too. So there's a lot of people doing, you know, social media content and kind of living that digital nomad life out there. But the food in Bali is fantastic. And we actually had, I think it was Thanksgiving dinner this year in Bali. And we were at our little restaurant that was a 5-star restaurant where, you know, they're bringing you several different courses. They're having you try and sample things in between courses. There's a dessert course, there's a drink course, you know, like this whole thing. And for the two of us plus tip, it was maybe like $50 US for this, just like what would have been probably $300 here. So it was insane. And they were, you know, super excited to see us there and, you know, kind of visiting the restaurant. But you can find so many just very, very affordable. Even if you're going out to eat, doing a luxury dinner, Bali is a place where your dollar goes really far. I would definitely go back to Bali and see a little bit more there.
Excited for that. Thanks for that tip. We're foodies as well, so I know Terrence would love to hear that. And I mean, in general, the food in Asian culture is amazing. I had some of the best food of my life in Thailand when I was there a few years ago, so I'm excited to get back to Asia and really be able to dive in.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you guys are going for like 3 weeks as well too, because that seems like, you know, it's a 14.5-hour flight. That was a new one for us. But honestly, like, it went by super, super quick. I don't sleep well on planes. I know some people can just, you know, fall right asleep and be done with it, but it was part of the excitement of going to like a brand new continent. Even though, you know, Turkey has a little part that's, you know, kind of in Asia technically, and touches Europe and Asia both. But when we got to kind of Asia, like Japan and South Korea, things like that too. So from DC, where we normally fly out of Dulles in DC, and it was direct, which was helpful to get to Japan, to Tokyo, but 14.5 hours, but it actually went by really quickly. You know, catch a couple movies and a season or two of a show and you're there. So it goes by faster than you think.
Nice. So Tim, let's transition a little bit, right? And get a little bit into some strategy talk before we wrap up. So I'd love to know, what are some of your strategies when it comes to either redeeming points and miles, finding award flights? Would love to just for you to unpack some knowledge for us and for the listeners as to how you and your wife have been able to figure out the award space using points and miles, or continuing to build your points and miles outside of just regular spending. What are some of the things that you guys do to really get the most bang for your buck, or I guess in this case, the most bang for your points?
Yeah, so it one of the things that I've got a few newsletters that kind of come through, so definitely follow like the Daily Drop, for example. So we kind of started watching, that's a YouTube couple called Kara and Nate that are really popular online, and they kind of made their own business around letting you know, hey, here's cheap flight deals. I'd use Scott's Cheap Flights. I think they rebranded as Going now, but they have a really strong newsletter where they talk about, you know, not only flights and how to get, you know, points and miles to redeem for particular flights, but also new and upcoming cards as well. But one of the ones that I use a lot as well too is this site called Travel Freely. And anytime I get a new card, I'm going to this site. So you can kind of go there and log the card that you got, and it'll dynamically crawl the web and see what that card is, what the spend requirement is, when you're going to get your bonus. And it'll actually even remind you, hey, if you want to cancel, you're about to get hit with that annual fee. It's coming up in 30 days. And you can kind of see a log of everything that's there, as well as it has a whole blog and component to it that recommends like new cards to get and saying, hey, a brand new card just came out for 100,000 miles. So I wish I was affiliated with them. I'm not, but Travel Freely is a great site that I probably would have tried to make myself if it didn't already exist, but it's a way to kind of keep track of all the cards that you have out there, because there isn't really one good system outside of maybe just keeping your own spreadsheet or something to know which cards you have, which cards. You can also actually downgrade your card in there, so you can see what you had originally, and then you can show, hey, I downgraded this card at this particular date. And it's a really good tool that's completely free to use. They have some paid services as well too, but the bulk of their product is completely free and just helping people travel. But I think the one that I kind of come back to is telling people, anybody who's trying to get into it and is maybe a little bit, you know, timid or not sure about credit card and this and that, of, you know, I just, you know, look and do my research and kind of reverse engineer it. So I see, where do we want to go, and start looking into, well, how many points is that going to take? So start a lot of times with like Google Flights and put in, all right, we want to go to DC and we want to go to, say, this November, we're trying to go to New Zealand and Australia. So I know I'm going in November and I know where I'm going to go. So we'll put that in as a flight and then punch that into a couple of the sites, whether that's United or Delta or any of them, and kind of see, how many miles is this? And that'll give us a ballpark of what card I need to be going for. So for example, that particular trip is well over, I think it's like 140,000 maybe round trip. So I know I got to do potentially two cards that offer like a 70K bonus. And we both need to do that. So that's kind of where we start, is look at the flight and see how many points you need. Because we tend to preference, you know, paying for the flight, because that seems to be for us more expensive than the hotels. So a lot of times we'll start with the flight and knock that out. And then if we can get the hotels or the Airbnbs for free, we'll try to do that as well too. But if we can't, that's when we'll start putting a little bit of money aside, you know, to help pay for the hotels. So we tend to go for the flights because they seem to be more expensive just overall, and then just kind of start by reverse engineering, seeing how many points you need, and then just kind of checking, you know, like I said, Daily Drop is one, Scott's Cheap Flights is one, travelfreely.com is another one that you can go, and it'll tell you, here's the cards that are kind of coming up. And sometimes even just a quick Google search of, what are the top travel cards? I'll do this all the time, is top travel cards April 2024. And it'll give you a couple of sites out there that are highlighting, here's ones that have a big, you know, sign-on bonus. And that's usually the ones that we're trying to get, is ones that have the biggest bang for your buck in the sign-on bonus category.
That's awesome. So the benefit is for the listeners, because I'm assuming that 100% of our listeners subscribe to our newsletter. And in our newsletter, we actually update, we have a link to the best current card offers that we link to as well. So when a card has a huge offer that's going on, usually we go ahead and have that already linked. So we have a link to that in the show notes as well, but we update that monthly. So we keep that as well. So for the listeners, you can Google it, absolutely, or it's already in the show notes. If you're listening to this, there's a link right there. But I do love the Travel Freely app as well, Tim, because I use it myself. I think it's a huge benefit, a huge, easy way to stay organized.
Yeah.
And it even tracks other things, right? Like your Chase 524 rule. So to make sure that you have the capacity to, if you wanted to get another Chase card, like it tracks your 524 status. And it has so many different benefits. And I'm really excited because I've been in talks with Zach, the founder of Travel Freely.
Nice.
He's touring through New Zealand right now for foreseeable future, but I think we're going to get him on an episode later this year.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited for that one. That's going to be coming down the pipeline in the future. But it is a really, really cool app. And the fact that they designed it to be literally completely free so that it benefits all of us is super helpful.
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, yeah, definitely not sponsored. And I don't even think I would take anything from them if they did decide to do that. I was like, I will rep your product, you know, free of charge. It's great. Like the day I found that, I was just like, where has this been my entire journey, especially with that 524? Because I know depending on where you're at and your travel hacking points and miles journey, you might not even know what the phrase 524 is. You know, it's a little bit more of like a 102 instead of the 101 beginner course. But yeah, that was a
very... Why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Yeah, so it's basically, Chase has a little bit of a rule that's out there of they don't want you to open more than kind of 5 cards over the course of 24 months. So it's one, you know, kind of regardless of where that card is. I messed up doing that early on. I was just kind of signing up for every card and didn't really know, you know, even the old, like, you know, Banana Republic or just kind of shopping cards, and got away from that once I found out about that particular rule, because the Chase cards that are out there just offer so much value. So basically that site helps you keep track of that, how many credit cards you've opened over the past 24 months. And as soon as a card kind of falls off that list and you get under, then you can go back to Chase and get one of their cards. So I'm waiting for the Chase Sapphire. So I get off to 5. I'm right at 5 right now. So hopefully I get one down so I can get that Sapphire Reserve, because I know that one's really nice.
That was actually my first card in the points and miles game. And so I still have it to this day. And it is one of my favorite cards to this day. Tim, question for you. I'm just going to throw this out if you happen to have an idea. If you had to ballpark, how many cards do you think you and your wife have in total at this point? Just a rough assumption if you happen to know.
Active ones, probably 2 to 3 per person that are kind of like active at the moment. But, you know, from the whole journey, I probably have a stack full of them, of ones that we've, you know, kind of cycled through. But we typically, you know, typically I'm using one, getting that, and then, you know, moving on to the next one. But I also, you know, one of the things I've discovered recently too is credit card companies are wising up a little bit to the points and miles community out there. And just something to keep in mind of, if you're switching every, you know, as soon as you get your bonus and you're moving on to the next one, you know, you can potentially get flagged for that for a particular company. So just something to keep in mind. I usually keep it a little bit longer than that, so it doesn't look like I'm just, you know, here for the bonus and then out the door. So usually about 2 active ones, sometimes 3, depending on if we're really trying to bank up some extra miles. So this New Zealand trip that we're trying to save up for in November, I got to get a couple cards going. So I've kind of locked into some United travel cards to help get that. So I think I'm about one card away. So I should be on track to make that flight completely free.
Nice. That's awesome. And if you had to guess, over your points and miles journey over the last, I guess it's been 7+ years, how many do you think you've possibly opened? Not that you're using active, right? Because I'm the same way. I only actually carry a few that I use. Now, I do have my wealth management business and, you know, personal cards. So I do have a mixture between business and personal, but I don't carry 10 cards that I'm using all the same times. So you had to guess how many cards do you think you guys have, that how big do you think that stack is that you said is sitting out there?
I'd say probably somewhere in the, like, the 15 to 20, just from our journey, you know, like, cause we, you know, we have a healthy amount of them, but we just are now starting to dip our toes into, now that we have this, kind of company going, a little bit, we've kind of stepped into the business card, area as well too. So that's kind of unlocked a whole new, section for us of, you know, do the social media and the content creation and just kind of inspire other people through our travels, but turn it into a little bit of a business off to the side. So not super profitable yet. You're just kind of getting going a little bit, but enjoying the ride and helping, you know, I really like sharing kind of our journey through photography and video and just kind of helping other people either be informed through what we're doing, maybe finding something they haven't heard of before, or maybe entertained by some of our mess ups. We share a lot of those of don't do what we did it wrong kind of a thing. That's been a part of our journey as well.
Very cool. And I've always got to ask this. I mean, 15 to 20 cards. Come on, Tim, I'm sure your credit's probably in the gutter, right?
No, actually quite the opposite. So it's, you know, definitely one that I tell people, anybody trying to get into it, is the trick, or the biggest one I can give you, the pro tip, is that, yeah, you know, carry that zero balance. And so one of the things that was kind of a mindset shift for me was around using that card and having kind of all the benefits and coverage of it as well too, because if I'm using my debit card, that's my money. So if somebody steals that and swipes up a whole bunch of bills, I got to now go call a bank and try to get them to fight for me. If I'm using Chase's money, they're going to go fight on my behalf. And they've done that very successfully for me. If I'm saying, hey, I wasn't satisfied with this product, or hey, that's a fraudulent charge, they are on it. They take care of it. But the biggest thing I tell people is, you know, just because you're trying to go get this sign-on bonus for X amount of, don't go outside of your normal spend. You know, and one of the things that I do when I'm first setting up is I have a checklist of all the things that I recurringly spend each month, right? Maybe there's an Amazon subscription or Netflix or Spotify. All of those can go to your travel credit card, right? So those particular accounts, a lot of your bills can even go there. So like our power bill, our water bill, things like that. You can't do like an auto loan or a mortgage or anything like that. But the majority of them, they're there. You don't realize it. So I just encourage people to go check your checking account and see what hits every month and casually switch that over to a credit card. And anytime I get a new card, I just go through a checklist and I moved my PayPal over, I moved my Amazon over, I moved my Spotify over, you know, the things that I normally would buy. And then when I'm out swiping my card, I use that credit card. So you do that, you keep a zero balance, you pay it off in full each time. That's key. I can't stress that enough. But that will keep your credit nice and shiny, and being able to get new cards.
Awesome, Tim. So before we wrap up, the Wandering Destinations brand, where do we want to take that?
Yeah, so we've got a little following going on Instagram and trying to grow it on YouTube as well too. But you know, kind of the big three things that I'd say we do there is inspiring people to travel. That's kind of like one thing that we want to just share with the world because we love it so much. But we love finding hidden gems, you know, giving tips and tricks of things, what to do, what not to do, just helping other people, and then just sharing that journey either through informing you, giving you some value there, and entertaining, hopefully by seeing some of our pitfalls, but really just trying to grow that as a brand. Like I said, we've been at it for a little while, but that's kind of really picked up over the past couple of years of trying to document not only just through photography, but through video as well too, of showing you, here's a bunch of the cool places that you could go check out. Here's how you can do it. Here's maybe a challenge or a fun thing that you could go do in this particular city. So we're actually working on a new video right now. When we went down to Peru and hiked Machu Picchu, but we went on a different trail, not the one that you're thinking of. And why did we choose that? And what was it about? You know, a hiking challenge that was out there. So stay tuned for that. That's coming out at the end of the month. But really just trying to grow that and, you know, kind of see where that takes us. Ideally, that gets us into, you know, helping as another means to pay and supplement for all the travel that we're doing. So hopefully that becomes a cycle. And ideally, you know, the long-term goal would be doing that permanently. That's why, you know, Bali kind of perked our interest up. We were like, man, we could maybe do this, but haven't quite, you know, done the separation from the 9-to-5 yet. But ideally, that'd be where it would go long-term.
And at the very least, I know it helps out because now you can get the business cards because you have a business venture, which, I mean, you can get business cards a lot of different ways without having a full business venture. But I know that also makes it easier when you do have a venture as well.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So that was a new one. We were like, hey, we should be putting some of these expenses on here. You know, it's a whole new world as you unlock into the business side of the things.
Absolutely, Tim. So before we go, how can listeners connect with you?
Yeah, so we're really active on Instagram. It's wandering.destination. And the same, we have a YouTube channel as well, wandering.destination. Really trying to grow the community on there and just kind of provide more content. A little bit, it's faster to crank out some images and some stories than it is. We also enjoy doing kind of the long form, more vlog style of come along with us for the journey. So those ones take a little bit longer, but those are the two platforms that we're active on probably the most. Is Instagram and YouTube. So wandering.destination on both of those.
Awesome. Well, in the spirit of continuing to grow this community and bringing great content to our listeners, who else should we invite on the show for the future?
Oh man. Yeah. I was thinking about that. You know, I'll have to think of, I owe you a name probably for the next time, but I'm really curious about and seeing Zach get on there from Travel Freely. Like I'm going to be definitely tuned in for that episode and really excited to see that one coming on. But yeah, I'd say like as a stretch goal, if you could get Kara and Nate, I'd highly recommend their YouTube channel. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have. They're at like 6 million followers, but that would be who I would stretch the stars for. I'd love to see them kind of sneak into our world a little bit, because I know they're super big, but at the same time, super humble and very, very modest in their whole approach to travel and then growing their community. So that'd be one that I could see you reaching to and aspiring for a stretch goal.
Yeah, they're I've been following them for a while. They're one of the first travel accounts I think I ever followed back in the 20 teens of Instagram, and they had 100,000 followers, which is a lot. And now, yeah, they have millions on Instagram, and they do a lot of great stuff and travel. I mean, they just live the travel life, which is awesome. So we will dream, we will hope. I'll shoot a shot. We'll see what happens in the future. But Tim, appreciate you being on the show today. Appreciate the insights. Love the stories about you and your wife and where you guys have gone, and the trips, the advice you have. And I'm super excited for you to continue to build your own brand as well and just put out continuously great content. You do have great videos. You take great photos. So I love the stuff that you do put out on Instagram. I know you're working to continue to build that as well, and really appreciate having you on the show today.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. Great conversation. Really looking forward to hearing about some more of your trips and some of the future guests, but thanks for having us on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here today. And for the listeners, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.